Thank you. Correct.
But she did not bring breakfast.
Okay, so everybody, welcome to the Economic Development Planning Education Employment Arts Agriculture Committee special meeting, October 28th. Can we have Clerk Mahler call the roll, please?
Chair Sperry.
I am here.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran. Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart.
Here.
Legislator Walls.
Here.
And Chair Criswell.
Here.
You have 7 members present, 1 absent.
Wonderful. Legislator Litz, will you lead us in the pledge?
I'd be honored to. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. So I just wanted to remind everybody that the purpose of this meeting is to discuss the executive's 2025 proposed budget and the 25 to 30 capital program with the departments that fall under this committee's umbrella. So I just want to reiterate that to make sure that we stick to the task at hand. I would like to thank the legislature's budget team, Amber and Natalie, for their work to provide us with the reports and assessments to help guide our discussion. They were emailed out last week, and we have copies here as well. Please take all the time you need to review them, and in the future, if you have any questions or if you have any questions about anything shared this evening, make sure to reach out to Amber and Natalie with any additional questions. And so the committee is aware the office sent a couple of questions to department heads in advance of this meeting. And as we go through the different department heads in conversation, I will ask those questions and then they will respond. And then priorities given to committee members for discussion and questions, and it's up to the chair's discretion to open to non-members. Any questions? Great. So we're going to have a quick chat with Michael Schreiber, who's going to tell us a little bit about the SUNY Ulster Capital Program.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Schreiber. I'm the Vice President of Administration and Finance at SUNY Ulster. Just hired in late September, so I'm fairly new. This is my first meeting, so thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You are welcome here.
What was submitted for the 2025 to 2030 capital plan for 2025 for the next year includes $41.9 million, half of which will get funded by DASNY, the other half coming from bonding from the county or however they see fit. It's over 4 different areas: equipment, roofs and exterior, site work, and infrastructure. Equipment is $640,000 in total, including both pieces coming from DASNY and the county. Roof and exterior are just under $19 million. Site work, just over $16 million. Infrastructure, $6 million. The major projects that are included in here is campus roofs, which total $9.7 million. Which we're looking to do, particularly 2 roofs, some window replacements for $7.7 million, an upgrade in our site works to build a maintenance facility on campus. That project will be in-house and is $8.5 million. The Senate Gymnasium, initially when submitted, it was site work, though there is 2 pieces of this project. The major pieces right now is the floor, the gymnasium floor buckling, as well as the roof, among other things. But those are the first 2 items in the envelope of that building. The remaining is infrastructure and improvements from classroom renovations, internal water plant operations, which was $1.8 million in the initial 25, with the majority of it in 26. Previously, there was a capital project for the study, which we're expecting to have relatively soon. We have a meeting actually later this week on that project that we'll get more information. And lastly, ADA compliance, which is an annual ask in the capital project too. So that's the part for 2025. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee members? Legislator Hewitt.
I have a question for Deputy Executive Contreras. Do their capital projects show up in our capital budget?
Yes.
At the full expense or just what we're covering?
The full expense is included of the $40 million for 2025.
Any other questions? Hopefully we'll see you at the next meeting.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, thank you. Next we have Kevin Lynch, the director from Economic Development.
Good evening, Chair. Can you hear me?
You have to turn your mic on.
Oh. It's great. Green now. I can hear me.
There you go.
Good evening, everyone.
So I'll just ask the two questions that we asked everybody, and you can respond to those, and then you can give us an update on anything that you feel like you need to include.
Okay.
So the first question is, did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
No, there wasn't.
Okay. And then are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025, or are there any that are being eliminated?
None being eliminated, but there is a continuation for the cannabis feasibility work that we've been doing in 2024. What we're doing in this area is basically taking our learnings, working with small businesses, incubating them, and supporting them with business development. It's been successful. A couple of businesses have begun operations. In fact, the Daily Freedman reported a couple of, actually it was last month, that the county received over $23,000 in terms of cannabis-related revenue. We're anticipating that to grow year over year as we start to incubate businesses. We're actually working with the EST, maybe citing an incubator project here in Ulster County. So, I think there's going to be more to come. Working with our local farmers, but also building with some of our wholesale and micro businesses around cannabis.
Legislator Stewart.
I was just wondering if we're doing anything at the Cresco, or if we're working with Cresco to try to rescue that situation.
I've done some homework on Cresco. I mean, certainly it's an OEM national presence. They've been slow to really develop the project out in Ellenville for a lot of reasons, at the state level primarily, given, all of the delays in politics as well as implementation.
Right.
So they're kind of standing pat right now in terms of making additional investments. They have securitized that facility to expand the facility in Arizona. So it's still part of their portfolio, but in terms of future plans, they haven't been transparent.
That's too bad.
I agree.
Thank you.
Chair Quisbell.
Good evening. I see in your budget you have $110,000 requested for professional services planning studies, but in the executive recommended budget it's $80,000. So what's the $30,000 difference there?
It looks like it was reduced. There are a couple of things. The first recommendation was $40,000 to do a agribusiness feasibility study. And I think the county is strategically located between New York and the rest of the world in terms of taking advantage of a new agribusiness technology. And this really is on the heels of the work we're doing with Hudson Valley Agribusiness Corp., Todd Erling's group. I think there's a great opportunity here to build an incubator primarily for agribusiness and bring in private investment. So $40,000 is for that. The other $30,000 is around doing site assessments, right? Last year, I should say this year, we've been getting a great deal of requests for different sites throughout the county. You know, we rely on brokers to do that work. So we're really looking at bringing in a professional to kind of build out this system so we can be robust in citing, you know, different sites for different requests from businesses. And that's important. Site development for manufacturing, for the types of retail activity, Main Street. So $30,000 is going to be dedicated to that. But we're also doing some work with marketing and moving some of those funds to USITA, because I you know, we believe that USITA can certainly do a lot more in terms of advertising and marketing the county's economic possibilities.
So two quick things. One is that you know that there's money in the budget for a water and sewer infrastructure study. So please talk with Director Doyle about that so that your two studies are complementing each other.
Certainly.
I think that would be important. And then I guess what I was asking was, where's the $30,000 that you asked for that was not put into the executive recommended budget?
It was taken out. Anyway.
So it was just, there wasn't anything actually attached to it, or?
No. Just initially I was looking at $40,000 for the feasibility study.
Okay.
And
I just thought maybe you had a project in there that was pulled out.
No, it was the high level. And
that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Any other questions from the committee?
Is your office fully staffed right now?
No, it isn't.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we're down one business service person. So that position is going to be open.
Did that just recently open?
Yes, the last 2 weeks.
Gotcha. And if you had additional funding to encourage industrial hemp instead of cannabis, would your office be able to handle that to encourage the nascent and growing industrial hemp industry in New York?
You know, generally, I think, you know, hemp is certainly a growing sector around sustainability and another alternative in terms of insulation, right? Market, you know, intel on that is still out in terms of really assessing the economic viability of it. In terms of having an additional staff person to do that work, you know, I would think this person would also be involved in other agriculture related opportunities to look at the whole spectrum. But I agree with you. I think hemp is certainly going to be, it's on a trajectory to really be a good alternative to insulation. So.
Anybody else?
Can you give us one example of a successful agribusiness now that you would be modeling your feasibility study after?
Yeah, certainly. There's a business called Upcycle, and what they do is recycle waste food from restaurants and supermarkets, and actually that they make a pretty good pasta. I have to tell you, I haven't tried it yet because I'm still a ragu guy. But that's one example. Composting, obviously, is another one, right? I mean, it's really part of the circular economy and building our agriculture community to be part of that. I've traveled up to Morrisville Ag and Tag and a couple of other, and visited with other startup ag businesses. And that's one of the things that we're missing, bringing in private investment to invest, you know, in projects in this county with our farmers and to kind of support the ag sector.
Very helpful. Thank you.
All right.
Anybody else? Thank you, Director Lynch.
Thank you, Mark. Sure.
Don't forget your treat on the way out.
Well, I just took the whole basket.
Okay, next on the agenda, we have Director Doyle.
I'm going to sit in a different seat, Kevin sat in for, with Lockmaster. Sure.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about my budget.
So I'll just ask you the same questions to get started, and then we can have some follow-up dialogue. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
No. And my apologies to Jay. She sent me an email, and I did not respond to it in time. So Jay has my apologies for that.
Make sure he doesn't take any treats.
Yeah. I'll forfeit my treat. How's that?
Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025, or and are there any being eliminated?
So there is one new initiative for 2025 that was not in my original budget request, but it came about because of the passage of a legislative resolution, and that was a water and sewer assessment. It's something that we have recommended over a period of time to look at the current condition of our capital facilities, not ours, but the county's capital facilities with respect to water and sewer, both from a need to accommodate growth, but also from an economic development opportunity, as well as looking at what monies are needed to improve those facilities. So we did add $100,000 to our budget. We don't know what that is. We haven't issued the RFP yet, but there is money in the budget to essentially accomplish that study as requested by the legislature.
Do you feel the proposed 2025 budget and, if applicable, the capital program for your department is right-sized, including staffing for your needs and workload?
So the short answer is yes. The longer answer is that there are challenges throughout the structure, the organization structure, relative to us accomplishing what needs to be done. It's not necessarily looking internal to the departments. You need to look across the various departments that are essentially responsible for moving things through the approval process. Those things, all of those, whether it be purchasing, contract management, or the legislature process themselves, essentially are really strained in terms of the amount of effort and the amount of work that's been done. So we've added staff in various areas relative to the online departments. But the supporting departments have been essentially looked at to the extent that they are looked at. They are essentially working with the same amount of staff with increasing amounts of responsibility. I would add, given some of the comments relative to grants, is those are the types of things that you look at. It's easy to spend your money. It's much more administratively burdened to spend somebody else's money.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you. And I had a question for Director Doyle, and also wanted to ask this while Jake Widmeyer is here too. We've been working to get a watershed coordinator position, and I just wanted to be sure that we have money set aside in your budget for that purpose. And I wanted to be sure that you were in coordination with soil and water to figure out how that's going to work.
So, well, thank you. And what Legislator Stewart is referring to is that the Lower SOPA Stream Management Plan has a number of over 40 some projects associated with it. There is funding in that plan from New York State Department of Environmental Protection of about $2 million. It's very valuable money because it can be used to match federal money. It can be used to match state money because it's actually New York City dollars that's there. The first piece of that was essentially to spend money to develop the plan itself. The plan had no home when it was finished. It was sort of like, well, the county was a fiduciary responsibility. The planning department took upon itself to essentially issue the RFP and go through the work associated with that. Upon finishing, everybody said, well, who's going to implement the plan? And the plan is essentially looks at the Lower SOPIS, and the suggestion was that we needed a watershed coordinator. So what we've worked out is essentially in long discussions with both the board through Jake's good efforts and with Jake himself with respect to how that would work. The money is not in my budget. It was in my budget. It is now in the Department of Environment's budget. And so what we did is that we had $100,000 in my budget for watershed coordinator work. We moved that into sewer, and then we ended up with the watershed coordinator in the Department of Environment's budget. We anticipate that budget will be about 50% of that budget will be forthcoming from the grant or ongoing discussions with the grant source with respect to that. And the other 50% would be a county match. And we would ask for 3 years of funding from the watershed funding that's out there. And 50% of the watershed coordinator's time would be spent on the Lower SOPIS to justify that match. And then 50% would be spent on other watersheds throughout the county, which are needed. We're going through that process with the board at Soil and Water Conservation and with Jake. It's an ongoing discussion. We also have an advisory group that was kept on from the study itself that continues to work in terms of how that, what our priorities are. And we're also having discussions about how we're going to release that money. Now, that money doesn't come through our budget. It's held in the Hudson River Foundation's budget. We're also having a discussion of what that notice of funding availability would look like. And we should start that. We've been going on now for several months. We've asked the towns that are involved in the Lower Surface to pass the necessary resolutions in support of the plan. Once we have those in place, we'll probably come to the county. Probably we'll come to the county legislature and ask it to pass a supporting resolution as well. So we have resolutions on record from all of the parties involved that support the plan. That will allow it to become much more of an official document as it relates to seeking funding from other state agencies, particularly State Department of Environmental Conservation and USDA would be another federal agency that may be involved. The reason we worked with the Soil and Water Conservation District rather than others was the fact that they have the greatest amount, in my opinion, they have the greatest amount of technical expertise relative to putting projects on the ground. They also have the ability to work with private landowners, which some of the other agencies do not.
Chair Criswell, you had your hand up before.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something that I brought up in the previous budget meeting. And last year, I had presented a budget amendment to support an independent grants team that the county could use if they needed help with specialized projects or if they needed help with not just acquiring a grant, but actually seeing the grant through from beginning to end. It's what I do for a living, and I know that sometimes it can take a year to actually manage, like especially with the DASNY grant or something state, it can take a long time to manage it. And so I'm considering re-submitting that budget amendment to ask the county to bring on board basically a freelance team of grant writers that have a wide variety of grant writers who work for them who have different skill sets. And I was wondering, would that be something that would be helpful to your department?
So the short answer is yes. The longer answer is in the details. And from our perspective, we think that the grants team itself that currently exists in terms of writing grants and looking for grants and helping departments write grants is working well. We are pretty sophisticated when it comes to grants from the county planning departments. There are other departments that aren't that sophisticated. But I think the real issue in my mind is not grant writers, it's grant managers. And for me, the idea that you have engineers at Department of Public Works trying to manage paperwork for grants, the idea that you have senior planners and planners and principal planners trying to manage grants and paperwork, those are not good uses of their time. And if you think about it this way, there's a old Harvard graph talking about regenerative thinking that says if you have it goes like this: if this is smarts and this is time, and the people with the smarts are working down here, the things that take the most time, you're not using your staff to the best of their ability. I would say that occurs mainly because of the complexity of managing grants. So if you're thinking about doing that, I would do it on the management side. I think the sheriff was right on when he talked for a grant manager versus a grant writer. Thank you.
Legislator Hewitt. Oh, sorry.
If I could just add to that, I think now that we have the grants team up and running, there's three of them, the vision that you had for that team is really similar to how this team is being deployed, because what they do is they have a spreadsheet of grant opportunities. They always run it by us, and we run it by the departments. It's not a situation where they're off on their own kind of applying to grants. We connect them to the departments. We ask the department, is this something that you knew about? Is it something that makes sense within our context? And if so, do you need help applying for it? And then they'll help apply for it. They do also do some of the management that Director Doyle talked about. So, for example, we have a NYSERDA fellow, and there's paperwork that goes into that, obviously, in the background, and they have been managing that process while the fellow is working on the substantive work that she's doing with the environmental department. So just wanted to give you that update.
Legislator Hewitt, and then Legislator Stewart.
Thank you. Well, first I got excited because I was going to make that point. The grants manager is very different than the grants specialist. But I'm wondering, we hear a lot about being stretched thin from different departments. Some departments are having rapid turnover because they're not paying staff well enough. That's what we're hearing. I'm wondering, out of naivete, can a director terminate a staff position that's not needed? Or do you have to go through the executive to do that?
So I don't have the exact answer for that. I would suggest that that is more appropriate to talk about with respect to the personnel office or the executive staff.
Thank you. One more question while I have the mic. You said the grants team is working well. Was that you, Director Doyle? Yes. Is that since the new hire this year?
I only have been working with the grants team since this year, so I couldn't tell you what happened before, but we've wrote several and used them on several occasions with respect to grants that we have now put in, the most recent being a microtransit grant that they wrote a substantial. We provided all the background, some of the mapping for, but that was somewhere in the neighborhood of about $7 or $8 million that we applied for.
Thank you.
Legislator Stewart.
One project that I have been working on since I've been in the legislature is trying to address the lack of cell phone coverage on Route 209. And I was wondering if there, in your budget for next year, if there's money set aside to help the municipalities with that issue?
So the short answer is no. the longer answer is that we have almost weekly meetings with some of the cell providers to look at where the gaps are and what they can do about them. We're also designing, as you're aware, I believe, all of the new towers that we build for public radio system when permitted by the municipality,
right,
are designed to essentially carry additional cell carriers. We have under construction beginning probably this week or certainly early next week is the Tanchi Mountain Tower. That tower has room for two cell carriers. We have two cell carriers that are currently in negotiations with us with respect to be locating on that tower. We're also aware of or in design for a local safety radio system on the area around the Rosendale Town Hall. We have a cell carrier that is interested in locating on that particular tower with us.
Which is a good thing, so thank you.
Yeah, and we're working with one of the carriers on locations in Big Indian, where they have a landowner that refused to essentially do an agreement. We reached out to some of the resorts through the tourism department and have some very enthusiastic resort owners asking if trying to make sure that there's a cell tower available. We had the situation in Hurley, as you're aware of. That is ongoing right now with respect to the fire company in Hurley. We found them a site in Hurley.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, so that is ongoing. I would say that, you know, the carriers themselves are telling us that they're stretched thin with respect to capital. So they may or may not move forward relative to their own capital decision making. But we know that they are also interested in adding onto our tower on Golden Hill and providing additional service in the Golden Hill facility, and we're having under discussion with them. So these involve access permits so that they can do the necessary studies. It involves a discussion of lease costs, as well as making sure that we understand what is needed from the local approval process. I will tell you, before I got here tonight, I spent an afternoon in Warsing discussing with the Warsing Town Board a proposed emergency radio facility at their highway garage.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, so there was a couple of things in the budget. So there was a septic system grant for $180,000, and then the leading with lead grant for $180,000, which those both total at $360,000. Are they state aid? Because it says the state aid increase is $323,000.
Yes, and the answer to that is yes, they're both state aid. As some people may recognize, the planning department is actually the Department of Miscellaneous Affairs. So if it doesn't fit well elsewhere, it fits in us. And the two grants that you talked to are really allocations. We applied for them mainly because we literally could not apply for them. And we're currently out to RFP implementation of those two grants. And we anticipate that the leading with lead grant will cover administrative expenses in the RFP, assuming we get someone to implement that grant. But there are no administrative expenses associated with the septic program. So we're anticipating that we'll have between $20,000 and $30,000 worth of administrative expenses associated with that program. That's why the revenue doesn't match the grant.
Legislator Stewart.
And with the septic grant, what geographic areas does that apply to?
Septic grant is conditioned on a system that is failing. It needs to be within 250 feet of a stream segment deemed a priority water body by DEP. There was maps that show that. Interestingly, the Lower Esopus is not a priority water body.
Right.
So that's the interesting part. Just about everything else is, we probably won't prioritize septic systems in the New York City watershed because they have their own septic program. And it is a matching fund dollar for dollar up to $10,000.
So this would then focus on the Rondout and the Walk Hill?
Rondout, Walk Hill, Attic Hill, there's some other streams, Twaskill, there's other streams in there that are priority water bodies as well. And there's stream segments associated with that.
Thank you.
I've looked at some basements in Accord Main Street, and they were built, the septic system was built so long ago that I heard it goes into a bunch of rocks and then to the river. How do we know if a system is failing?
That's a great question. The easiest way to know is that somebody no longer can flush a toilet and that it backs up and you see it on the ground. The other way is to actually dye test it. So you put a green dye in it, and if it shows up on the ground, the system is failing. Yeah. But I mean, the real question is, if you don't have enough room, how do you fix it? And that's the real question.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Director Grail.
Thank you.
Next, we have Director Berger from Tourism. He was just here. Dude, he's a pain.
Hi there.
Hello. So I'll just start with some questions. So the first one is, did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
I did. I requested a film specialist position. And I think that I forwarded to everybody the diagram of what our department looks like, and it has film underneath it with no staffing associated with it.
And then there was another line for program specialist.
That program specialist position I did not put in for this year.
Okay.
It's only the position that only the film position was put in for. I think that, you know, I know that you're aware that, you know, one production can bring in as much as $200,000, and that would more than pay for the position. And, you know, the department is stretched right now to be able to do all the things that we need to do and want to do, and to expand markets, and so, and to refocus on sustainable tourism. It's a lot of things, so we put into that position.
Legislator Stewart.
And I was just curious, How much did you request for that position?
It's actually, it was civil service qualified, and it would come in. It's originally, I think it's a grade, I think what they gave me was a grade 12 or 13, which I think the total would have been 60,000 for a salary. There are a few other surrounding counties that have that position up a little bit higher. They have a different title, but I'd put it in as a, you know, moderate level position.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see where you went.
You said you, in the org chart, it has film. Does that mean it's part of your mission?
Yes,
but it
you is.
Don't have it staffed to promote.
That's right.
Okay. And also, let's see, deputy director in the budget, is that?
We have a deputy director currently. So there's a deputy director of tourism, an information assistant,
gotcha.
And a an administrative an office assistant.
Thank you.
Yes. So it's really the film. It was the film office that we put in for this year.
Thank you.
So you would be going from a four-person team to a five-person team.
Yeah. And the person would specifically do film.
Right.
Yeah.
Joanna?
Yeah, I just want to give some, like, background to what we're thinking in the exec's office. Nothing is final, but in terms of adding new positions, obviously we have a lot of requests every year. We had 66 this year. So we're trying to be creative and find ways to meet these needs. So we're looking at other positions that are vacant currently that may have similar goals and looking if there's ways that we can combine them so that we can have somebody, you know, to address this need, but perhaps not have a full-time position right now.
And that's really good knowledge that I did not anticipate to have the position, but I put it in because, you know, and so we appreciate the county executive's creative thinking about ways to help us.
Okay, so the next question mm-hmm. is, are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025, and are there any being eliminated?
So we do not have anything being eliminated, I could say that. And new projects, I just did send you some information on one new focus of ours that will tie into the sustainable tourism strategic plan that we are working on, and that is you guys have the concepts of a bike tourism campaign, and that would be this would be a full-fledged effort to go into attracting that kind of tourism and really maximizing the businesses and the core business corridors that are along our rail trails in order to encourage small business growth. So that you see a concept and you see an outreach for that. You also have a PowerPoint presentation that would that catches you up to speed on where we are with our accessible tourism grant. And, you know, we've spent the better part of this year in the design stage and in the study stage, and you have what it is that we've begun to implement. We have a landing page, we have ad campaigns and videos and things, and we've actually developed a page, and I'd love to come back at a different time and tell you how we envisioned that grant. And we have one more year left on the grant, and you know, we're kind of doing things differently, all the way from adopting a color palette for the tourism department that will be visible to people who are colorblind. So they'll see the same colors we see.
Yeah, cool. Chair Criswell.
Did you have another question you were going to ask? I just want to publicly thank you for many, many hours that you've spent working on the arts and culture plan. We're about a little over halfway through, and Director Berger has been really amazing going on site tours with us and attending town halls and online processes that we've been doing with data collection mm-hmm. and with planning it. So I just really thank you for all the hours you put into this.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. It's been a terrific learning experience for me. you know, because the department's strength has been outdoors, and this has really been rounding of our view of the whole county. And the work has allowed me really to see how incredible offerings we have, not just for visitors, but really the people who live here and improving their lives. It's great. You did great work there.
Okay, so you already kind of addressed the staffing issue, mm-hmm. and that you guys are your workload issue. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the proposed 25 budget is relevant capital program is right sized for your department?
I do. You know, we have, because we're going to be engaged in a strategic planning process, and we've, you know, finally gotten somebody who's going to be on board and really work through that. This is a year where we're going to focus interiorly,
mm-hmm.
and really then from there see what kind of demands we have. So we're good.
Right. Yeah. So just to ask really quickly, so for state aid and miscellaneous contractual expenses are proposed to decrease by $125,000. So was there?
So what happened, just so that you guys know, because this, you have talked so much about grants today. So the accessibility tourism grant we've received through I Love New York, we're a subrecipient of ARPA money.
Okay.
And the department had never worked with grant money before. And so I think what we did is we mistakenly put $250,000 mm-hmm. in for, because that was the total amount of the grant. What should have been in this year was $125,000. And so we are at the point where we have extinguished that and we have the rest of it for 2025. And that's what it is. So learning process on our part.
Okay. And then SimpleView CRM was removed from the
What that was $30,000 to buy this online software. Now we're going to have about a $12,000 subscription cost annually, which is fine because that allows us to upload our events seamlessly to I Love New York without mm-hmm. retyping, and the same to our other our regional partners. So it's worth $12,000 right there in time.
Any other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you, Director
Thank you.
Berger.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
I just saw the $125,000 in miscellaneous contractual expense. We had a discussion earlier, law enforcement, about not having huge line items in miscellaneous. $125,000. And I was just wondering about.
You know what? I think that I think what happened.
Is that the grant we were just
talking about? Yeah, it is the grant we were talking about. Yes. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
We're learning. We're learning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please feel free to take a treat.
I have to. I love Kit Kats.
The other person that reports to this committee who couldn't be here tonight is Director Williams from Employment and Training, and they'll be coming to our next meeting in November. So if you have any questions on that budget, or any of that stuff, you can ask them in November. Any questions, thoughts, or feelings that anybody would like to share? All right. Can we have what? Oh, right. Here's a sorry.
Can we ask Jake questions?
No.
Just kidding.
So just a friendly reminder that next week's regular meeting was pushed to Thursday, November 7th at 6 p.m. And please vote. Don't forget to vote. Vote, vote, vote. Now, Legislator Litz. Seconded by Legislator Hewitt. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a nice life.